It's good to have Mr. and Mrs. Pollard with us tonight. I can see why she didn't reveal herself for years. Certainly appreciate all that's been done to make this meeting possible today, all the work that goes into making a meeting like this, all the organization and everything, the people who brought the food, certainly appreciate that. I didn't need it, but I certainly enjoyed it. And it's good to be here tonight. It's good to hear the good preaching, Dr. Rahlquist and whoever that guy is from the South. What's his name again? Rambo. It's good to have good men of God and be able to fellowship with them and hear people preach and hear good singing. I've known Pastor Cole for quite a while now, and I never known him to have a sense of humor. But anyway, check what's in their water. I don't know what's going on there. But anyway, about 16 years ago, we brought over a couple of carloads of people to some meetings Brother Pastor Cole is having here. And he played, I don't know, one of those things. And some things, and after the meeting, great meeting, everything else, we went down the road here not too far, but stopped in Hamburg at this pizza place. We had this woman that came with us, and we're sitting around there, and I'm just trying to be pastoral. And I said, does anybody have any questions about, you know, what went on at the meetings here? Knowing we're in a foreign country, and these foreigners are a little strange to us. I said, anybody have any questions about what went on in the meetings and stuff like that? And this woman said, well, I do. And I said, and what's your question? She said, how come you don't play any musical instruments? She said, I feel as though our church is shortchanged having you as a pastor. Dead serious. And I'm pretty quick on my feet. And I said to her, I said, you be in church Sunday night and you'll find out why I don't play any instruments. I went and found an old trumpet. And we had this woman who would come and play the piano for us on Sunday nights from a church in Welland that lived around the corner. And she had come and she was your typical Canadian. I said, I'm going to play the trumpet tonight. And I gave her this song, and she started playing the introduction, and I started going, honk, 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 honk. Well, 90% of the people are dying laughing. The woman playing the piano looks at me and says, it's not that bad. You'll get better. Couldn't get worse. Couldn't get worse. Yeah. Over the years, I've been writing down Pollardisms in the back of my Bible here. I encourage you to do the same. Brother Donnie says some things that no one else will ever say. Says them in a way that no one else is going to say them. But he's the big dog, and I'm just a little pup here, and I'm going to get out of the way as quickly as possible tonight. If you would please turn in your Bibles to Revelation chapter number 20. As soon as Dr. Rahlquist introduced his message this afternoon, a great calm came over me that this was the message that God would have me to bring this evening to you. As a pastor, you'd have no problem finding messages, especially if you preached for a while. You got hundreds of them. And if you're like me, I just kind of stack them over in the corner. I should be more organized by saying, good one, preach this someplace else. But I don't do that. I probably should start doing that. And so I pray and I believe that the Lord has led me to preach this tonight to you. If you would, one more time, I'd ask you to stand. If you're in Revelation chapter 20, I want us to read together verses 11, 12, and 13. Revelation 20, 11, 12, and 13. And let's read together on the first word. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. Gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for those who have congregated here tonight in this fashion. We're not here because we've been forced to be here. We're here of our own free will. And so that means each and every one of us sees a benefit in being here tonight. And it won't be much of a benefit, Holy Spirit, if you don't control every aspect of everything that's said. And Father, our thoughts through this time, I pray that you would control our hearts. Help us, Lord, to be attentive to the Spirit of God as the Word of God is brought forth, that we might make spiritual decisions that'll change our lives. Help us to be changed. Help us not to leave here the same as we came in here. Help us to be better people for our time spent here tonight. For we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. The Bible is all I've got to preach from. I can't sing. I can't do any of the great things, but I'm glad that God gave us a Bible to preach from. Amen. I often tell people a story about when God called me to preach. He had a fella come to this denominational church where I got saved, and this fellow preached this message, worst message I've ever heard in my life, although I was young in the Lord, never heard a worse message preached than that. And the Holy Spirit said, psst, if that guy can preach, I can use you. And that's the honest to God's truth. And he just convicted me, and I went forward that day. And I just knelt at an old-fashioned altar and said, God, you ain't getting much here. But I'm willing to give you all that I've got. And if you want to blame somebody for me standing here, don't blame Brother Foote. Don't blame Pastor Cole. Blame God for my standing here tonight. And in tonight's time that I'm going to take, I want you to notice in the Word of God, if you would please, in verse number 12, it says, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. I want you to go with me tonight and look at the Bible and look at the books which are contained in the Bible tonight. I hope that this is something you'll look at very personally. I want you to take this seriously. I want you to look at it from your own perspective. I don't want you thinking about the person sitting next to you. I don't want you to think my wife can really use a message like this. My husband can use a message like this. If Uncle Dick were only here, he could use a message like this. I believe the message that God has given me tonight is for you to examine your own life. I want you to go through that. Not going to take a long time. We're going to flip some pages because you just ate. You'll be sleeping on me if you're not moving. Amen. So I want you to look at this and take it spiritually tonight and personally. Nothing's more important than your soul. There's no life more important than your spiritual life. We're to set our affections on things above and not on the things of this earth. But in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 17, it says it's about time judgment started at the house of God. Judgment is coming. It's appointed of the men once to die and then the judgment. If we believe that Jesus is truly coming again, my friend, when he comes and he takes it, judgment's going to take place. No one gets in without judgment. And so, my friend, I want you to look at the Bible with me, if you would, please. It says definitely in verse number 12, and the books were opened. I believe that you're probably all familiar with the books of the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and same as the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, and so on and so forth. But these are some special books in the Bible I want us to look at tonight. Each and every one of you here tonight personally has your own spiritual library. I want you to examine tonight your own personal spiritual library. When the Bible says the books were opened and they were judged by the things in the books, I want to know what books am I going to be judged by? I want you to first go with me, if you would, to the Gospel of John chapter 12 and verse 48. John chapter 12 and verse number 48. If you're a person who wants to grow in the Lord, I believe you usually bring a pen and a piece of paper or a book and write things down. This is one of those writing down messages. I don't know if this is right for camp meeting, but I may get running the aisles and knocking chairs over in a little while, but I want you to write some stuff down. In John chapter number 12, and look with me in verse number 48. It says, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. May I say first and foremost tonight, this is the book. The Bible contains the precepts and principles whereby you will be judged. In the great Shema, Deuteronomy chapter 6, Israel was told, hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command you this day shall be in thine heart. Why does he want them in our heart? Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking what? Heed thereto according to thy word. And how important it is that you would realize that this book is a book of judgment. You have no excuse for living up to the standard. It's time that God's people came up to the standard. We're too busy looking at suggestions and compromising truth when it's so simple to simply obey it. This word is a standard of judgment, and this is the first book I want you to see in your library. The second book I want you to see in your library we find in Psalm 139. Go with me, if you would, please, to verse 15. It says there, my substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lower parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written. There is not just the Bible of judgment, but also there is the book of our members. We live in a day and age when things have gone crazy. If you take a look around you tonight, you're going to notice that everybody's a different height. Everybody's a different size. Everybody does not look the same. Probably the greatest peer pressure that we find is on young ladies. Young ladies end up being old women. The pressure stays on them. I mean, it's amazing. Everybody wants to look like Barbie. I think she's anorexic myself. Let me tell you something. God made you exactly how he wanted you. He made Donnie Pollard the height he made him. He made Brother Leon Foote the size of him. He gave him talents and abilities that he gave him. we live in a day and an age where everybody wants to be like everybody else. You're not going to be judged for being having the aptitude of Brother Seymour. I'm not going to be judged for not playing whatever those things are that Pastor Cole plays with up on there and makes music with. I'm not going to be judged. I have no musical talent. I laid the music in our church. Think about how bad that's got to be. We had Pastor Mrs. Livermore over for a New Year's type deal. And so we're going to sing these songs. And she starts playing one of these popular songs that you sing around the New Year's time. And I start leading and singing, and she stops playing. I said, "You got a problem?" She says, "That's not the way the song goes." I says, "Well, if you can't play the way I sing it, don't play. Because this is the way we're singing it." I'm not going to be judged for my musical ability. I don't have it. I have a tin ear. I ask people, "Was that good?" I don't know what they're doing up there. Parts. I don't know what parts are. But there's some things I can do. God gave me certain abilities and certain talents. And I'm going to be judged for what I do with those things. Not the things I can't do, but with the things I can do. We've got a problem because God made us exactly the way He wanted us made. I mean, there's too many people going getting clipped and tucked and snapped and everything else. My daughter-in-law is here with me tonight. She says, "How come you don't go by hair?" Nothing wrong with my hair, is there? You've been talking to my wife, haven't you?
I wish you were hair.
I wish you were hair. But God knows each and every part that He put on us, and He put on us the parts that He wanted. It's time that people realize I'm a special creation of God Almighty. He created me in this way, and I've got these assets, and I've got these liabilities. I think a Brother Joe can't go in the average house without hitting his head. Just too tall. It's amazing. Why do we want to change what we look like? Can you figure that out? Handsome guy like you? Why would you want to change? Why would you want to be like somebody, everybody else? God has a special book. He wrote our members down. Now, I know here in the States what you're going for is universal health care. You can't believe how bad universal health care is. I've got an article with me somewhere. In Ontario, the provinces in Canada, they distribute health care out in the provinces. Well, it just came to light that in the town I live in, they closed the hospital down. What came to light? Well, they're closing hospitals, and we have no hospital care. You can go get a sex change, Brother Donnie. And the province will change. The province will charge. Will be no charge laid to you. It's free. You have to go through a psychological evaluation. I'm satisfied. What am I talking to you about in these few minutes that I have before Brother Donnie takes over here? I'm talking to you about your own personal library. You have the Bible. It's the standard of judgment. Second of all, there's the Book of Members. God made you exactly the way He wanted to make you. And don't you let anybody make you feel inferior because of the way you look, the way you think, all those things that I'm not going to list for you because of time. Matthew chapter 12. Look with me in verses 36 and 37. Matthew 12, verse 36 says, "But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by the words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." Everybody see that? Amen. You see that? In your library, the third book you have in there is the book of idle words. Every idle word that you have ever spoken is recorded. Now you might say, what's idle words? I knew that was coming. I don't know what these things are. A lot of things I can't do. This is another thing I'm not very good at. What is a chat room? What is that? That's where idle words. I don't know about you, but I think God's a lot smarter than we are. He said, you know what? You angels are having a hard time keeping up with so many idle words of 6 billion people. Let's just make this thing and let's let them just record their idle words for themselves. Cheap chatter. Cheap chatter. Idle words. Meaningless. How many conversations do you have that are absolutely meaningless? How many times you let your conversation get out of hand? Just idle words. It starts off here and it ends up way over there. Idle words. Every idle word is going to be written down. Everyone is going to give an account of the idle words that they've spoken. How's your library doing so far? I want to ask you a question about the book of idle words. When people leave your presence after a conversation, do they leave edified? Check out Ephesians chapter 4. You can check some things out there, but I'm not going to go there now because I want to show you another book, book number 4. Go with me, if you would, to Luke chapter 12. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke chapter 12. Look at verses 2 and 3. The Bible says, "For there's nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness. Whatsoever you've spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops." I have a problem with people that do that. I think it's called, is it called twittering? I want you to notice something about, maybe you're a Twitterite, I don't know. I don't Twitter. I don't even have a cell phone. You get a hold of me the old conventional way, you use smoke signals. Brother Don doesn't smoke. I hope he has some fire. But anyway, what is happening when people do this? And I don't know. You watch. I want you to tell me something. I went out with a man from church and my granddaughter to McDonald's early on Christmas Day. I mean, early, early in the morning. We just kind of do this. I always take a drive around our community there and just kind of pray about some things early Christmas morning. Because usually nobody's around there. Well, the two of them are there. I'm sitting here. One's sitting there and the other's sitting there and they're both doing this. Why do they do that when they Twitter? Do you ever notice that? People don't go like this. How are you doing today? They Twitter, they go, one, I don't care what you're talking about. Number two, why are you hiding it? Everything you think you're saying in darkness is going to be brought to light. Why are you trying to hide that stuff? So many people get into a room by themselves or get into their car or something like that and begin to converse, and they think it's all secret. Nobody knows. Well, who are you talking to? Somebody knows because you're talking to somebody. Let me give you some wisdom. Listen to this one. Never tell anybody anything you don't want everybody to know. Don't say nothing. This book of secrets, this is the heavy gossip. Remember preachers always used to get on women about gossiping? Men are bad gossips. Just bad. I don't know who would win the tweeter war, men or women. But let me warn you tonight, judgment is coming. Judgment needs to start in the house of God. You're building a library for your own day of judgment. What about the idle words? Those things you think no one else hears. Go with me to Proverbs chapter 24. Look at verse 9. It says this. The thought of foolishness is what? Sin. The thought of foolishness is sin. Now I want you to hang on to that. The thought of foolishness is sin. And on the back of that, I want you to go look at the fifth book in your library in Romans chapter number 2. With me in verse 14. Now we go down to 15. It says, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. I want you to realize there's not only a book of secret words, but there's a book of the heart. The book of the heart. Now, the book of secret words is those things that are still spoken, but there's things that you have never spoken. It's in your heart. It's in your thoughts. It's in your mind. I want you to go with me to Ezekiel chapter 8. I want to illustrate this one. Ezekiel chapter 8. Look at verse 12, Ezekiel 8, verse 12. The Bible says in verse 12, then said he unto me, Son of man, thou hast seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the what? In the dark. Every man in the chamber of his what? Imagery. For they say, the Lord seeth us not. The Lord hath forsaken the earth. What goes on in your mind? I want you to see the illustration of Scripture here. This is a good one. Look up with me if you would, please. In verse 7. It says, he brought me to the door of the court. And when I look, behold, a hole in the wall. Probably looking through your ear. Then said he unto me, Son of man, dig now in the wall. And when I had digged in the wall, behold, a door. And he said unto me, go in And behold, the wicked abominations that they do here. Where are they doing these wicked abominations? We already know it's being done in the mind. Let me say something tonight to you very quickly. If you're here tonight without Jesus Christ, you're dead in trespasses and sin. The longer that you remain in your dead position, the more that the decay sets in. What are you trying to get at? I'm trying to get at the fact that the longer that you are lost, dead in trespasses and sins, the more decay that takes place in your body, in your mind, in your heart. If you're a young person here tonight and you've not been saved, my friend, let me tell you something. End the decay tonight. Enough. There are those of us, I didn't get saved young. I got saved in my 20s. There's a lot of decay I have to deal with. When I got saved, there's all kinds of things that I had to get out. There may be some of you tonight that didn't get saved too early in life, maybe later on in life. You still have some decay inside that wall. Inside the mind, you still have those old thoughts. You still see those old pictures. You still think of those old people and the old things that went on. Well, that's the natural result of decay over time because you were dead in trespasses in sin. You need to get it out. You need to get it out of your mind. Well, how do we do that? By humbly submitting. Coming and asking the Lord to help you. Cleanse my heart. Search me, O God. That's such an important thing to do. We need to take time to be holy. But we have to take time to take account of what's gone on in our lives and how we can clean up the mess we're in. Verse 10 says, so I went in and I saw, and behold, every form of creeping things and abominable beasts and all idols of the house of Israel portrayed on the wall round about. Your mind is just like a cave, my friend, and you have all kinds of things that have been illustrated around your mind, and you need to take care of that. You need to deal with that, my friend, and you need to deal with it tonight. I believe more Christian people never reach their full potential for God because of the mindset that they try to live with. You cannot have one leg in the world and the other leg in the church. You can't be thinking about holiness and then all the things that the world has for you, all the things that the flesh has for you, and all the things that the devil's taught you in the past. You can't live that way. You can defeat the old man. The Bible simply tells us if you walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If you think on these things, what things? Those eight things in Philippians. There's lots of ways. That's why the Bible says, let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus. What's that? That's a pure, that's a holy mind. Instead, we harbor those things as precious paintings within the cranial area of our being. Precious to us. I believe there's people here tonight that need to get those things out of their mind. The Book of Hearts. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Look at verse 14. It says, therefore God shall judge every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or it be evil. The Book of Works. We talk a lot about works. We talk about how we did our works, whether they were done for self-glory or whether they were done for the Lord. We know much about the judgment seat of Christ. Let me set this up for you very quickly. If you're saved here tonight, you will go to the judgment seat of Christ. But at the judgment seat of Christ, you will be judged. Beloved, let me tell you tonight, it's a lot easier to get judged here now at this old-fashioned altar and get things straightened up here tonight than it is to wait until the shout and the trumpet, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up in the air to be with the Lord, and then go through judgment. There's things to gain and there's things to lose. You don't want to lose your rewards because the state that you keep yourself in, the works you do, our attitude is dependent upon how well we have taken care of the library up to this point. Our works can all be stripped away just like that. I think of the prodigal son. Took his inheritance and just wasted it. My friend, tonight, you can take your inheritance and waste it just like that. But I want to ask you a question very quickly. Do you have some works tonight? What are you doing for the service of the Lord? What have you surrendered to do? There may be a young man here tonight that might be prompted by the Holy Spirit of God to surrender his life for full-time service. There may be somebody here tonight who's not saved, who's still decaying away. Stop the decay. Get saved tonight. Go back with me to Revelation chapter 20. The Bible says, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. That's the last book, my friend. Number 7, the book of life. Some people call it the Lamb's book of life. The dead were judged out of those things were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and the death and hell, which delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This is the great white throne judgment, as we began to read in verse 11. And I saw a great white throne. I said earlier, you're dead in trespasses and sins. Unless you come to Christ, you will not go to the judgment seat of Christ, but you will end up at the great white throne judgment. The great white throne judgment is the second death, the final. It's like a man who's been incarcerated. He's brought before the judge and he's sentenced. He's guilty. But what's going to be the term for committing the crime that he committed? He then is brought to the great white throne judgment. At the great white throne judgment, his sentence is then given to him. The angel calls out and asks if his name is found written in the Lamb's book of life. No, he's not here. Cast him into the lake of fire. Eternal judgment. No one here should ever have to go to the lake of fire. You're here tonight. I want you to look at your library of life. Is your library of life condemning you? Or is your library of life a credit to you? Most preachers have a library. Most of that library has real good books in it. But every now and then, a bad book somebody will hand out or give you or something gets stuck in there. You need to just take that one out and get rid of it. Tonight you may need to take something out. Just get rid of it to keep your library ready for judgment. Let's all stand together.